communion that you can confidently commune with them, and I can confidently share communion with them. And so that's a reminder to our worship guests and to our family here, too, that at St. Mark's we practice close or closed communion. So we ask that only the members of St. Mark's come forward to receive the sacrament. There's a brief explanation of that communion practice on page 2 in the worship booklet. And if you would like to meet with me at a time that works well for you, maybe during the week, I'd be happy to share more with you about our communion practice. But today we have a great example of close communion as we have instructed these children to be able to recognize Christ's body and blood. And you have the confidence that they are united with you, the members of St. Mark's, in everything that we believe and teach. So you can commune confidently with them today. We will have the rite of confirmation during the service. The order that will follow is printed for you in your worship booklet if you would like to follow along. The hymns are all sung out of the red hymnal. You find those in the back of the pew in front of you. And then one final note, since we asked the kids all kinds of questions, I have a question for you. Why are we wearing red today instead of the white for the Easter season? Why are we wearing red today instead of the white of the Easter season? Yes, ma'am. Yes, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has instructed these children. The Holy Spirit has brought these kids to faith. He has confirmed them, strengthened them in their faith. So it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit's working, not only in their hearts, but also in ours as we gather around God's word and sacrament. So with that little lesson and those announcements, we open worship by singing together a hymn of praise to God for the great things he's done for us, as well as for the confirmation kids, number 399. Let us worship the Lord. worship continues on page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd who laid down your life for the sheep. Lead us now to the still waters of your life-giving word, that we may abide in your Father's house forevermore. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson for this morning, Good Shepherd Sunday, is recorded in the book of Acts. And here maybe it looks like Jesus failed to shepherd the early Christian church as a man who stood up for the truth, Stephen, met with opposition. And speaking the truth cost Stephen his life. Still, we see that Jesus shepherded him through that persecution and shepherded him home to heaven. And then we'll talk in the sermon, too, about how Jesus promises to shepherd us even when things don't go especially easily for us in this life. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them, that is among the disciples, complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among yourselves who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews from Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen. To this he replied, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it." When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I have seen heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Our service continues on page 8 with the choir song for today. This is a confession of faith that the Holy Spirit has worked in their heart. They live because their Savior Jesus lives. No matter what is going on, it's the comfort that they're sharing with you through their song, "Because He Lives." Amen.
Thank you. In the second lesson, St. Peter continues to instruct us on what Christ's resurrection means for us. Here, St. Peter reminds us that Jesus Christ suffered for every single sin. Anything that troubles you, anything that troubles me, any shameful thing we've ever done, Jesus Christ lived and died to pay for it. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 2. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing something wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel for this morning is recorded in the gospel according to St. John chapter 10. Here Jesus gives us the comfort of knowing that he is the good shepherd. He is the way to life. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. Hymn 465, a hymn that has special significance for our confirmation students today as they are seeking God's blessing to live their lives for him. Number 465. Greetings again to all of you. In the name of the Good Shepherd Jesus, who lives to shepherd you always. I want to share my thoughts with you based on Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd Psalm. King David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is the word and promise of your good shepherd. You know how these stories go, and if you've spent some time parenting, you probably have a story or two of your own. They usually go something like, "I just turned my back for a couple seconds," or "it was just a couple minutes, and it happened so fast." I have a very lighthearted one to share with you, and I didn't get a chance to have somebody sign the full disclosure form, so I'm going to have to leave the names out to protect these individuals. What could go wrong? You have a little one at a table with a bowl of ice cream. And it was just a couple minutes. I only left the room for a couple minutes, and I found out what can go wrong when you leave a child alone with a bowl of ice cream just for a little bit. I come back into the room, and this individual has ice cream smeared all over his or her face. Not just on the face, but on the head and everywhere. And so, like any good dad would do, I went and I grabbed my cell phone, and I took a video. And I said, "Why are you putting ice cream all over your face as another scoop is going down the side of the face?" And this individual said, "Because it's hot." And wanted to cool off a little bit. I was gone for just a little bit. You know, fortunately, some of these examples are lighthearted, but unfortunately, some of them aren't. When I was growing up, the family across the highway from us, they had a swimming pool. And I could remember a few years after we left, in the annual Christmas letter, there was a note that, sure enough, it didn't take just a couple seconds. Mom turned her back, and the little one needed to be rescued from the swimming pool. Just a couple seconds. And unfortunately, on the news, you hear these stories too. There's some sort of big family get-together, and pretty soon one of the little ones is gone. Why? Because somebody stopped paying attention just for a little bit, and then there go the footprints off into the snow, off into the snowstorm. It can be very dangerous when we lose our focus just for a little bit. But now I want to ask you, what would happen if Jesus, the good shepherd, your good shepherd, if he stopped shepherding just for a little bit, even if it's just for a couple seconds, just for a couple minutes, what's going to happen? Do you think that the laws of physics would continue to happen if Jesus would say, "I'm going to take a break just for a little bit"? No. No, they would not, because he's the one who put them together for you and for me, for the world, so that this world could provide for us. Does the sun have to come up tomorrow? Annie says the sun is coming up tomorrow, but does it have to? Absolutely not. If Jesus would take a break just for a second, what would happen to the sun? What would happen to the world? What would happen to the universe? As Job was reminded by God, "I'm the one who stretched out the heavens, Job. I'm the one who put this all together. I hold it all together." What if he would stop loving you and shepherding you spiritually? Just for a little bit, just for a second. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease unless Jesus ceases, unless he stops being your good shepherd. Doesn't that kind of beg the question? And maybe if you're not thinking of it now, there's probably going to be somebody when you go home or when you go to school or when you go to work who is going to ask the question, okay, if Jesus is the good shepherd and if Jesus never stops shepherding the sheep, then why? Or then how come? Or how can this be? And I think those are legitimate questions. If Jesus always shepherds his people, then why do those things happen? You know, from King David's perspective, if Jesus never stopped shepherding King David, then why was there a valley of the shadow of death in the first place? Why did King David need green pastures and quiet waters if Jesus was shepherding him? And let's ask a very honest question. If Jesus never stops shepherding his people, then why is King David in King David's grave right now? Shouldn't the good shepherd have done something about that to keep King David safe? The Lord is my shepherd, he wrote, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. You know, King David was a pretty neat guy. He is rugged and handsome, the Bible says, and even on top of that, he was a poet. So there really wasn't anything that King David was lacking, and he was a great king. But he was also the first one to remind us that he was a son of his father, Adam. And in addition to beautiful things like the Lord is my shepherd, he was not afraid to write down for thousands of generations, or for generations for thousands of years, to hear this about him. Surely I was sinful at birth. The confirmant shared that with us before. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And how did that show up in King David's life? You know, even if someone is not a big fan of the Bible, and you don't have intricate understanding of the Bible, everybody seems to know about Bathsheba. And I think people put a lot of blame on her because they know about her. But what happened when King David decided to take a little break from the paths of righteousness? What happened when King David decided, I'm going to take a little break from being shepherded? And doesn't that get you thinking, maybe there's nothing wrong with the shepherd? Maybe there's something wrong with the sheep? And maybe there's something wrong with the world that the sheep live in? That's what King David is getting at. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And when he took a break from Jesus, what did he do? He went and he swiped another man's wife. And then abusing the political authority and the authority of king that God entrusted to him, he had her husband killed in battle so that he could take her home. And the spiritual damage that that did in his relationship with God, as if that wasn't bad enough, this ate him up. Every day, every night, King David thought about what he did. Every day he came home to this wife who used to be Uriah's wife, and it killed him. He said, when I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. King David separated himself from the good shepherd. He chose to eat in different pastures. He chose a different way. And it did him no good spiritually. It did him no good physically or emotionally either. And besides, who other than Ms. Gump, Forrest's mom, ever said that life is going to be a box of chocolates all the time? And that it's always going to be easy and that life is always going to be sweet? In fact, doesn't Jesus, your good shepherd, love you enough to say, that's not how it is. That's not how life is going to go. God has been very upfront with that. He was very upfront with Adam and Eve in the garden, wasn't he? He said, Adam, because of the choice you made, you are now a flawed man. And you now live in a flawed world. And guess what? It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard work for you to provide for your family. It's going to be hard for you to get along with your wife. It's going to be hard for you to be a good dad to your kids. And he told Eve, you're now a flawed person and you live in a flawed world too. And childbirth is going to be hard. And it's going to be hard for you to love your husband. And it's going to be hard for you to be a good mom. And so was it really that the shepherd changed? Or did God's people change? Was it a flaw with the shepherd or a flaw with the sheep? Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus tells you this is how it's going to be. And it was that way for Stephen, wasn't it? When he stood up for the gospel, when he stood up for his Savior, it cost him his life. And you could probably say, well, that Jesus took a break from being Stephen's shepherd. Or you can say, look at what sin does in this world. Look at what sin does even in the lives of people who love Jesus very much and are shepherded by the good shepherd. You know, the only problem is logic really gets in the way of our relationship with God. And says, okay, maybe Jesus never stops shepherding, but do you really like the way that Jesus is shepherding your life right now? And then there's that part of you that answers, no, I don't like the way that the good shepherd is shepherding me right now. And then maybe you pull a King David, and you go walking down paths that you know you shouldn't go walking down. And maybe it is some sort of sixth commandment issue. Maybe it is I'm going to go hook up tonight to have some fun. Or I'm going to go look for the companionship that God isn't giving me right now. And ask King David how that goes. And then ask a guilty heart how that goes. Because kids in school are doing that too, right? Just ask King David how that goes when you decide not to walk down paths of righteousness. Or maybe your good shepherd isn't providing for you the way that the good shepherd should be. So you need to go out and lie to get something. And you need to go out and cheat. And you need to go out and swindle someone. And you need to flat out go steal from someone because the good shepherd is holding out on you. Well, how long do you think that joy is going to last before your heart gets eaten up the way that King David's heart gets eaten up? How long is it going to take for you to walk down those paths of unrighteousness before it really affects your relationship with the good shepherd? Even though you can make the greatest case ever that Jesus must be taking a break from shepherding me. Jesus warns us in John chapter 10, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, it sounds really good, and whether it's going to be friends at school, or maybe it's either something that comes from in here, or it's something that Satan whispers in your mouth, you're not listening to the good shepherd at those times. And Jesus says, they have come to kill, and they have come to destroy. And do you know why that is? It's because it matters. It matters to God. It matters to the good shepherd when we accuse him of taking a break from being our shepherd. Or when we're bold enough to say, you know what, Jesus, it's a flaw with you. It's not a flaw with me that I'm doing these things. It matters to the good shepherd because it eats us up inside. And that's not the life that Jesus wants for us. It matters because it damages our relationship with him. And that's not what Jesus wants. It matters because Jesus says they can kill and destroy forever. Which is why we find a lot of comfort in the good news that Peter shared with us in the second lesson, that our good shepherd never stops shepherding us. Not even when we make the worst decisions in the world. Not even when we accuse Jesus of being the worst shepherd that there ever is. No matter how much it's eating us up inside, we have this promise that the good shepherd laid down his life for us. Peter said he committed no sin. Talking about Jesus, Jesus never took a break. And no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Not even when it got really difficult did Jesus ever say, I'm just going to take a second. I'm just going to stop shepherding for a little bit. Not even when we throw the biggest, the worst, any sins at God. We've talked about spiritual breathing. When we throw the worst trash at Jesus, he doesn't say, I'm not going to take that. He never stops shepherding. He always fully and freely forgives. And you know that's true. Because as Jesus was shepherding you and me on the cross, and when his shepherd heart stopped beating on the cross, that's when he said, it is finished. And that was good news for King David. All of King David's failures and shortcomings fully and freely paid for by Jesus. And that's good news for you and for me too. whether it's the times that we accuse him of not being a good shepherd, or it's the bad choices that we make, or we're dealing with the fallout of the bad choices that we make. Jesus' lifeless shepherd body on the cross means our sins have been paid for. And then when his good shepherd heart started beating again on Easter morning, that was God putting a big banner on the sky saying, I accept Jesus' sacrifice for your sins. I accept his perfect life in your place. And your place and my place is secured forever in heaven. Because Jesus, our good shepherd, never stopped shepherding. So that's why King David, he could have given you any advice in the world, but he says, look to your good shepherd. He says to the good shepherd, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Because now King David gets it. Now he sees how his bad choices were not good for him. And now he sees how Jesus, his good shepherd, was always there for him. And Jesus, your good shepherd, is always there for you and for me too. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And it's important for you to remember today too, as you are going to make a pretty serious promise to God in just a little bit, that you are going to be faithful to his word, that you are going to be faithful guests at his house, that you're going to be faithful guests at his communion table, and then you're going to walk away from communion today all empowered, and you're going to say, Jesus, I'm going to live for you. And then chances are good you're probably going to make some bad choices. And chances are good that people at school are going to get you to make bad choices. And then it's only going to get more difficult when you get into the big person world and you get a job and you find all kinds of stress and all kinds of worry. That's when you can find great comfort in knowing that Jesus will never stop shepherding you. He will never stop feeding you. He will never stop comforting you. He will never stop welcoming you back here. Because why do we come here? To take out our trash. And he paid for all of it. And he sends us away at peace with him. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. One more thought. One pastor once was talking about this idea of our cups overflowing. And it's tempting, isn't it, to look at, well, that person, I like what's in his cup. Or her cup is a lot more full than mine. Or I wish that were in my cup. And that's not really the point of what King David is saying, is it? He said, because Jesus never stops shepherding you, your cup overflows. Just look at the blessings that Jesus, your good shepherd, shares with you. He loves you. He laid down his life for you. He promises to lead you through into green pastures. And he says, I know it's going to get tough. I know it's going to get difficult, but I will always be there for you. Jesus never stops shepherding his sheep. Even though our needs are great, they're always going to be there. He always supplies all of them. Your shepherd never stops shepherding you. Amen. Please stand. And we have an opportunity to witness with one another our faith and to at the same time praise God for sharing with us who he is. We do that by speaking the words of the Nicene Creed. They're on page 11 in the worship booklet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became holy human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church.
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we worship our God with our offerings. The brother of Louisa Burke and also our member Rick. Matt was recently diagnosed with leukemia and is beginning treatment. We've also been asked to remember our former teacher, Mr. Pat Walker, who will undergo a major surgery this week, Wednesday. We'll ask that God be with him. We've also been asked to remember Dakota, a little boy, a friend of the Williamson family, who is undergoing seizures and is seeking treatment for those. We've also been asked to remember Nick, that is Ed Russell's nephew, who was involved in a car accident and is recovering from that. And then we'll also ask that God would be with Pastor John Calpine and his congregation in Dallas as he considers the call to come here to serve us with Word and Sacrament as our pastor. With those, our brothers and sisters and their close friends and family in need, let us pray. God of all grace, we thank you for the gift of eternal life in your Son. By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and by the faithful testimony of the apostles, you have assured us that our faith stands on a sure and solid foundation. Though we do not see our good shepherd with our physical eyes, help us to see him with the eyes of faith. Through your Holy Spirit, breathe on your church that it may faithfully proclaim the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and diligence in all lands and to all people. Grant that we also may be illumined by the heavenly light of your word, and so keep us in the one true faith. Preserve us from all assaults on our souls. Deliver us from doubt and despair, and preserve us from worldly wisdom and false teaching. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive the sins of us, your people. We ask that you strengthen the doubting and faithless among us. Bring back the forgetful and the wayward, and bring us back when we are forgetful and wayward. And also comfort the anxious and the distressed. Dear Heavenly Father, when we entrust our loved ones to your care, it can be stressful for us. So we ask that you would be with Louisa and Rick as they entrust their brother Matt to your care. If it is your will, we ask that you bless his treatments and that you would cure him. Dear Heavenly Father, we also entrust our brother, Mr. Pat Walker, to your care in his surgery. Give wisdom and guidance to those who will operate, and please bless his recovery. Please assure Mr. Walker that we remember him and that we are praying for him. Also, dear Heavenly Father, when the smallest among us are suffering, it's very troubling. So we ask that you would give the friends and family of Dakota strong confidence in you and your love for him. We ask that you bless those who will be doing research, that they find the source of his seizures and that they are treated. We ask that you would give Dakota relief. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen Nick as he recovers from his car accident. When difficult things happen to those that we care about, again, may they direct us to the cross and the promise that in the life to come, we will be free from all pain and from all suffering. Until then, please keep us strong and please be with Nick as he recovers. And again, dear Heavenly Father, we ask a blessing upon Pastor Kalpin and those that he is serving with the good news of Jesus in Dallas. We ask that you bless their worship today. Bless the word of God that they hear. If they commune with you, may they walk away from your altar fully and freely forgiven, strong and confident to live for you. We ask that you would give them calm and peace as their pastor is deliberating a call. We ask that you would give us patience as we await a decision from Pastor Kalpin. If it is your will, we ask that you send him here, but above all, may he make a decision that glorifies you and grows and expands your kingdom. And then, dear Heavenly Father, as we go from this holy place of worship, grant peace and rest to us all. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. At this time, we will continue with the rite of confirmation, so I invite our confirmands to come forward. The Good Shepherd said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." In obedience to the Lord's command, you have been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You have been taught the precious truths of the Christian faith, as confessed by the Evangelical Lutheran Church. You know what God has given you by his grace and what he expects of you as his dear child. You now have the privilege of receiving the Lord's body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. You are here this morning to make a public profession of your Christian faith. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, said, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore, lift your hearts up to the God of all grace and joyfully answer these questions. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge that in baptism God gave you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation? If so, answer, I do. Do you reject the devil along with all his lies and empty promises? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe all the books of the Bible to be the verbally inspired word of God? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned to know it from our catechism instruction, is faithful and true to the word of God? If so, answer, I do.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the teachings of God's word, to be faithful in the use of the word and sacrament, and in faith and action remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as long as you live? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Since it is God alone who enables us both to will and to do his good pleasure, it is right for us, dear members of St. Mark's, my friends in Christ, to call on him for these confirmants, that he would graciously complete the good work which he has begun in them. Let us therefore bow our heads and pray. Almighty God, in baptism you made these, our brothers and sisters, members of the body of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. You washed them by his blood, you buried them with him in his death, and gave them a new life in his resurrection. Renew them constantly by the Holy Spirit, which you have poured out on them generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Enable them to live out their lives as heirs of eternal life. Lead them to serve your church in holiness and righteousness all their days. Keep them in the fellowship with all who wait for the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Again, my brothers and sisters in Christ, what we as a Christian congregation have here asked our Heavenly Father to confer on all of you, we now ask him to give each of you individually. Phoebe Baker, may God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and strength, of sanctification and the fear of God.
Matthew 28, verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
Dylan Corkill, may the Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, renew and increase in you the gift of the Holy Spirit, to the strengthening of your faith, to your growth in grace, to your patience in suffering, and to the blessed hope of eternal life.
Psalm 50:15, and call me in day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will honor me.
Zoe Earhart, may God, who began in you a good work, bring it to completion at the coming, the great day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. It is he who will save us.
Susanna Ewing, may God the Father who created you, may God the Son who redeemed you, may God the Holy Spirit who sanctified you, keep you faithful unto life everlasting.
Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?
Johanna Hernandez, may God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the Spirit of grace and prayer, of power and strength, of sanctification and the fear of God.
Matthew 6:34. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Jack Hopping, may the Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, renew and increase in you the gift of the Holy Spirit, to the strengthening of your faith, to your growth in grace, to your patience in suffering, and to the blessed hope of eternal life.
Psalm 91:2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Andrew Rocha, may God, who began in you a good work, bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
First Thessalonians 5, verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing.
Emma Russell. May God the Father who created you, may God the Son who redeemed you, may God the Holy Spirit who sanctified you, keep you faithful unto life everlasting.
Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Justin Verthein. May the Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, renew and increase in you the gift of the Holy Spirit, to the strengthening of your faith, to your growth in grace, to your patience in suffering, and to the blessed hope of eternal life.
2 Peter 1, verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke through God as they are carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Ashley Bosberg. May God the Father who created you, may God the Son who redeemed you, may God the Holy Spirit who sanctified you keep you faithful until life everlasting.
Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul.
Your church now invites you to receive the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. Accept this invitation with deep reverence and holy joy. Regard your communing at the Lord's table a precious privilege given you by God through his church. Receive the sacrament confidently, thankfully, and often. The Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. Amen. We now make our preparation to receive the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms and placed all things under his feet for the benefit of the church. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We thank our God for having fed us with his word this morning, as well as to this sacrament. We do so by singing together the song, Thank the Lord, on page 16. Please stand. People, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We'll close with number 329. Please be seated. Good morning again to everyone. May you enjoy being shepherded by your good shepherd in the week ahead. A very special welcome to our friends and family who are here to support the significant people in your lives, our confirmands. May God bless you as you had a chance to celebrate the great thing God has done for them. Not everyone gets to be called God's child. They do. And may God continue to bless them, and may they be a blessing to you here at St. Mark's and also to God's kingdom. Again, well done. You did a fantastic job. You worked very hard. You confidently shared your faith this morning, and may Jesus continue to bless you. As we are dismissing people, you are asked to come back up here, and we'll get lined up for a picture. So if there are any moms or other parentals who want to take a quick picture, they'll be up here for a little bit. The rest of you will be excused, and there is a cake reception out in the Rose Garden area being prepared for you. You do not need to wait for them. We decided that getting the pictures taken is important, so go, please, enjoy each other's company, and then if you would like to wish the confirmands well, they will meet you out there just as soon as pictures are taken care of. I've been asked to highlight one announcement in the weekly news, so if you didn't pick one up on the way in, make sure you pick one up on your way out. If you would like to get these delivered to your email inbox, please call Mrs. Taylor in the church office and we will get you signed up. But I have been asked to highlight the spring performance that is going to be this Friday, where the upper graders will perform The Little Mermaid at 10 a.m. and also 7 p.m. There's a $2 admission charge for children in grades K to 8 who are not performing, and then $5 for everyone above 8th grade. So it's going to be a great show. It's Little Mermaid. It's going to be fantastic. It's a musical. So please, if you can make it, come and support them and take in a good show. Also, just a crossroads reminder that we are compiling as much congregational information as we can. So there are still those congregational surveys available to you in the back if you haven't done one yet. If you want to talk with me before you fill that out, if you have some questions about those, I will do everything I can to get as much input for that as we can. And then reminder, this is leading up to June 9th, 10th, and 11th, in which we'll have different pulse groups to see where are you, where is St. Mark's, and how are we doing. There's sign-up sheets for those events, too, in the back, and then especially the big event on Sunday where we have the sharing of all the findings of our very in-depth study. So a lot of exciting things going on in the beginning of June. Make sure you block that off, June 9th, 10th, and 11th. So there, now we're ready to go enjoy each other's company. I enjoyed worshiping with you, and may God bless you, and especially God bless you guys. I'm very proud of you, and I thank God for you. So meet me up here for pictures in a little bit. Please feel free to visit before you are ushered out.